Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I've been doing this show since 1988, and it is sometimes just incredible for me to recognize what a privilege it is to be able to come into this studio and reach people around the world. The power of media, I mean, the very time in which we live where you can reach people globally by sitting in a studio is simply stunning. And I can tell you from that day to the present, there has never been a time that I have not come into this studio with fear and trembling. Not necessarily because I recognize how little I know and the full scope of what can be known, but because I realize the awesome responsibility and privilege that God has given to me. And I am deeply grateful for those who have stood with this ministry over so many years and given me the privilege to be a voice that's making a difference while there is yet time. And I say to each one of you that has stood with me over all those years, that only from the perspective of eternity will you fully know how God has used you for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. And I feel deep in my soul that the best is yet to come. I am looking forward to many more years of service, and I'm grateful for every opportunity that God gives me. And again, want to invite so many of you that listen to this broadcast, that recognize the reach of the Christian Research Institute, to join with us, to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially, to stand shoulder to shoulder with me in a ministry that is reaching literally around the globe. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also give when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let me go to the phone lines and talk to Jeremy in Albany, New York, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jeremy.
Good evening, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My privilege.
I was hoping you could help me understand our responsibilities in regard to the kingdom of heaven. As I've heard it said, the kingdom of heaven is here, or the kingdom of heaven is in the midst of you, and other kind of rhetoric that implies a notion that the kingdom of heaven is something that we participate in, kind of like a commission or revelation. And I was hoping you could help clarify that for me.
Yeah, it's interesting in Matthew chapter 19 where Matthew writes about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and uses the terms interchangeably. He says, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And so the terms are used in Scripture many times in an interchangeable fashion, but we are co-laborers with Christ. We are consummators of the kingdom. And God has ordained this universe in such a way that we are participants. We are those who have an opportunity as participants of the kingdom to be consummators. Christ inaugurated the kingdom, but one day it will be consummated, and we are participants in the process. And I think that's the great glory, that we aren't just saved so that we have an insurance policy to get to heaven, but that we are saved so that we might become co-laborers with Christ, that we can be, as Peter said, partakers of the divine nature and recognize the effulgence of the Shekinah glory within us in the process of making a difference, not only in our own lives, but in the perfecting of the saints so that the kingdom of God is now inaugurated and then consummated.
So in that process, do we realize the kingdom of heaven today, so to speak, in the moment? Or is the kingdom of heaven more of a temporal reward, so to speak?
No, I think the kingdom of God is within us. We are recognizing that kingdom because the king has been engrafted into our lives, and thus we don't live merely changed lives, as significant as that is, but exchanged lives. And that's why, as those who are living stones in the temple of God, we need to recognize that we are those that manifest the very presence of God. He took on our nature so that we might be partakers of the divine nature and manifest that presence to the world.
So to borrow your metaphor, living stones in the temple of God, that implies that we can create a kind of heaven on earth.
Well, in some sense, yes, we can even now participate in the kingdom. Yeah, I think that's right, and I think that ultimately this is what we're longing for and working towards. We're looking forward to the time where the veil between this world and the world to come is removed, where the habitation
of have the opportunity for creation and co-laboring. What is the purpose of a far-off cataclysmic event that does away with the current kingdom if we all got together, create the kingdom now, so to speak?
Well, I mean, there's a time in which Jesus Christ, the King, consummates the kingdom when he appears a second time, and that is when the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity are conjoined as one. And in the meantime, we struggle with the world and the flesh. In the final consummation of the kingdom, we will see Jesus in a second advent. He came in the first advent in flesh. He will come in the second advent in flesh. And then this universe will be transformed. It now groans in travail, awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. We also continue to groan in travail, but then we will realize the resurrection of the universe and the resurrection of our bodies, and we will forever live in a restored universe, which is not only the time-space continuum that we are experiencing now, but the habitation of God again, conjoined with the habitation of humanity.
So from that perspective, with the union of one, us, with Christ, comes not only the perfection in heaven, so to speak, but also the perfection of our labor on earth.
Yeah, and the participation of the engrafted life of Christ within us is no small thing. You know, the early church knew an idea of soteriology that was far grander than just forensic. It was to have the living Christ within us such that we become partakers of the divine nature. That's a lot to cash out, but it is a living reality for many people today around the world, particularly the persecuted church. I remember the first time I spent time with the persecuted church, and I wondered, how can they endure all the indignities that one human being can foist upon another? And the answer invariably was, we are living the crucified life, which means they died, but Christ had been engrafted within them. And that is a glorious truth that defies just explanation. It is an experience that we can have with the living God.
That's a beautiful answer, Hank. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You got it, Jeremy. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Mark, Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi.
How you doing, Hank? It's good to talk to you, and I just thank you for being a sacrifice unto the Lord and getting His word out the way you do with such humbleness. And my question is, well, really, on really the way I feel about the holidays in which we as Christians celebrate, as far as like Christmas and Easter, and how I don't think that it really reflects on who Christ is. And before we were celebrating, and other cultures were celebrating like Ashtar and with the Easter Bunny and things like that, I don't understand how I understand how it's in the church, but I don't agree with it. And sometimes I feel uncomfortable, like, taking my children and them, you know, thinking about Easter Bunny and Christmas trees, and I don't understand how we as children of God can just accept that fact. I don't think like the apostles would be celebrating Easter the way they do in the church these days, and how they still kept the way of the Passover. What happened?
Well, yeah, let me speak to that, Mark, because I appreciate your sensitivity on this subject. And in fact, I admire many people who do not celebrate Christmas, not because they don't believe in the incarnation, do not value the incarnation, but see the way in which the holidays, like Christmas, have been paganized again. But when you think about it from a Christian perspective, the historic Christian faith, this was not about celebrating paganism. This was about establishing a rival celebration which surpasses and supplants paganism. It is to say that the real issue is not the birthday of a pagan god, but Jesus Christ, who came into time and space and liberates us from our bondage to this world. And so the Christian church has always tried to use these ideas, these celebrations, as a rival. Here's the real truth, whether it's Easter and saying, the real truth is not found in paganism. The real truth is that while Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life, it does give us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the power of resurrection. But I think the prologue to your question underscores the fact that while Christianity has thought to institute a rival celebration, the celebration of the birth of Christ, in many ways, Christmas has been repaganized again. And so we want to use every opportunity, whether it is a Christmas tree to speak about everlasting life, evergreen, everlasting. We want to use every opportunity to be a witness to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not devolve into pagan practices, but use the practices of the day as opportunities to communicate life and truth and the grace of Jesus Christ coming in flesh. I want to leave it at that. I've written about this in my book, The Heart of Christmas. It's available on an audio format. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. But I want to spend a little time talking to my colleague in ministry, Larry Johnston. He is he's a senior vice president. He's chief advancement officer at the Christian Research Institute, and someone that I have had a great deal of admiration for many different reasons and over many different years. We have collaborated on so many different projects, and to have him as a member of our staff is a glorious thing for me. And the thing that I want to talk about is even piggybacking off of what was just discussed about Christmas. We are in every sense trying to use every means to promote the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. And it probably goes without saying that all organizations of every type are resource dependent. It really doesn't matter how spiritual you are. Ultimately, organizations run on resources. There are no doubt better analogies, but as I have looked at philanthropy and the reasons why people give, what happens is that organizations are like a vehicle. The donations of their supporters are like the fuel. A car without fuel is useless, and fuel without a vehicle is useless. But when those who are in the vehicle, that's those at CRI, are joined with the resources that people make possible, then beautiful things can happen.
When we come back from the break, I want to ask you why people give in the first place, and a concept that you've communicated in various forums that you use under the rubric of a new liberation theology. We'll cash that out when we come back from the break. Do remember that this is, as Larry just pointed out, a ministry dependent on people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us. And I love the analogy, the fuel in the car. This is a vehicle that literally is making a transformational difference around the world, but the fuel comes when people pray, when people give for this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach around the world. We'll be talking about that and a whole lot more when we come back from the break. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. As Larry is fond of saying, when you give, not just occasionally, but when you become a monthly Bible Answer Man support team member, you quite literally turbocharge this ministry. And what that means is you give us the opportunity to put ammunition into the hands of the very people who need it most. So, using the metaphor, they can bring the gospel to places that you and I might never be able to go. We'll be back in just a few moments. A lot more conversation coming up.
A recent Facebook post strongly encouraged Hank to keep telling the truth. Why? Because the writer knew all too well the devastating consequences of bad theology. You see, John spent years in a well-known cult and family that discouraged his pursuit of education. Their church taught that Christ was going to return soon, so what was the use of pursuing an education you would never have a chance to use? What's more, John never married because he believed that taking a wife and having children would not be wise in the end times. Now much older and wiser, he looks back with deep regret on a life that could have been dramatically different had he only been taught the truth. This Christmas, to help others avoid the very real disasters that often accompany bad theology, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. A humorous definition of a conservative is someone who sits and thinks, but mainly sits. With that definition in mind, could the greatest threat to today's church be that many of us mainly sit and don't think? If history is any lesson, the failure to both think and act during times of crisis can be downright dangerous. And for Christians today, increasingly battered by the gale force winds of militant secularism, the need is to think Christianly and act courageously. Faced with these challenges, will you be a conformer or a transformer? Will you be the object of worldly change or an agent of change for the King of Kings? To go on record as an agent of change, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a special year-end gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Christians agree that life and truth are important, but have you considered how the absence of truth can actually ruin lives? How distortions of truth can lead people to make tragic decisions affecting not only their lives, but also the lives of others? This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way and the truth and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In studio with Larry Johnston. He is Executive Vice President, Chief Advancement Officer for the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. He's making a difference using his substantial time, talents, and treasure for the glory of God. And I am so grateful that you've joined the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We've been working together for many years and have known each other now for 35 years. And one of your specialties, Larry, is on this whole matter of giving. Talk to a basic issue, and that is why people give to begin with.
Yeah, it's a great question. There are many, many reasons why people give. Probably in broad strokes, we could say there are three general categories of reasons. There are those people who give because they feel they have to, those people who give because they feel they ought to, and then there are those people who give just because they can and they have experienced the joy of giving. When Jesus says that it is more blessed to give than to receive, that is a truth not just spiritually but psychologically. It is the Scrooges, the Ebenezer Scrooges of history. Those who were so focused on themselves and held resources so tightly, those people are the personifications of pathology. Those people who have given all that they can are the ones who are hailed as the great saints.
You think about the Magi. They left their treasures at the feet of the babe of Bethlehem. On the other hand, you have Herod, king of the Jews. He hung tenaciously to his power, to his prosperity, to his position. He had all the advantages, as it were. The Magi were no doubt Persians. They come from the east to the west. Herod lives in the west. He is friend of the chief priests and teachers of the law. He's intimately acquainted with Jewish prophecy and history. He is a Jew himself. And yet, as king of the Jews, he labored to hang on to the things of the world. And I can't help but think of the distinction between those two. The Magi responding to the light of creation, the light of conscience, and finding Christ guided by the light. And then you have Herod, who dies in fevered turmoil with all the wealth of the world at his disposal. I thought about that because I was a question I wanted to ask you, and that is about the new liberation theology that you like to talk about. He would have been far better off to have been liberated from his wealth.
Yeah, the story is told of when John D. Rockefeller, at that time one of the wealthiest, not the wealthiest men in U.S. history, when he died in one of his many companies, one of his employees dashed into the office of his boss and said, "Hey, boss, the old man is dead. Have any idea of how much he left behind?" And the response was, "Yeah, all of it. We can't take it with us." And when I talk about the new liberation theology, I do it in part as an attention-getting device, because most evangelicals might appropriately gag if they really understand what liberation theology is. But the reason why I call it the new liberation theology is because Ecclesiastes 5:13 has a very, very important truth. He says, I have seen a sore evil under the sun, namely riches kept by the owners thereof to their hurt. Basically, what that says to me is a part of this life is our ability to make a difference through our stewardship. There are many reasons why people give. Some people give aspirationally because it enhances their social status. Some people give for affiliation reasons. They want to be worthwhile members of worthwhile groups. But I think the common denominator of healthy giving, giving that isn't under compulsion, is that people give because they want to make a difference. And woe unto us today if we are not making a difference.
I think in that regard of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify, this is the Apostle Paul, I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the saints. And Larry, that reminds me of the war generation. So many within the war generation gave sacrificially. They saw their life, they saw their time, they saw their talent as opportunities to extend the kingdom of God. So they had an eternal perspective. That generation is dying off, and the theology of giving for the modern day generation is not nearly as profound. It has been watered down, and with that, Christian institutions are no longer able to do for the truth what so many cults and organizations that have nothing to do with Christianity are doing for a lie.
Well, and it's a tragic truth that if you look at the teaching of stewardship in most U.S. churches, and thankfully there have been significant gains, significant success in recent years due to a concerted emphasis on what has historically been a great defect. I actually worked with a denomination once where the head officer of the denomination responsible for stewardship in the churches said that in helping one pastor take up an offering in his church, he had to physically stand with the pastor and almost hold him upright to be able to ask for a gift. And I think that there has been somehow a corruption theologically, or there has been somehow a cowardice that has been introduced. Maybe its roots go back to Gnosticism and notions that somehow matter and thus money are evil. But until we get the stewardship thing right, we're going to have serious problems. And as you noted, the most generous generation in the history of American evangelicalism has been the builder generation. They are now passing from the scene at the rate of 1,000 per day. Their funerals are being held every morning, every afternoon across the country. One forecast says that if current trends of giving within the evangelical church continue, within as little as 25 years, giving to all evangelical causes, churches, parachurch organizations, missions, broadcast organizations, in as little as 25 years, giving will be down by 70%, 70%. As someone who is in contact with the broader evangelical landscape and what Christian organizations are doing, the notion of our ability to change the world being incapacitated by 70% is chilling to even contemplate.
So talk to our audience for a moment about December. This is a seminal month. people are typically more generous in December than any other time. Talk about how people this month can turbocharge the ministry by becoming a monthly Bible Answer Man support team members, or even just giving one additional gift.
Well, let's go back to the notion of people wanting to make a difference. And I think most people who are aware of what is happening in this country and what is happening in the Global South, they want to make a difference, but they're not always sure about how they can do that. I think we've got a number of different types of folks in the audience listening right now. We've got those people who perhaps for years have been listening to you and listening to the Bible Answer Man program, and they have not yet given. Let me encourage you to be an agent of change and make that first step. It doesn't need to be a large gift, but come out of the bleachers and get in the game. There are a great many other people who have only made one gift in their history to CRI. Thank you for that one gift. Let me encourage you. It should have felt good. Do it again. Step up to the plate and make one more gift. Then there are those of you who might be making occasional, episodic gifts. Experience the joy of making a difference by standing with us through your regular monthly support. And if you are currently giving monthly and you want to make an even greater difference, prayerfully consider the invitation to step up the amount you're giving. Maybe you're giving $25 a month and you could do 50. Maybe you're doing $50 a month and you could do 100. Whatever you can do, do it knowing that your gifts are transforming lives.
Talk about how someone can do this in a practical way and go to equip.org and become, let's say, a monthly Bible Answer Man support team member, or even one where the giving is automated.
It is as simple as making a phone call. You can make a monthly commitment, and you can make it very, very easy to make that gift monthly by giving through a credit card or through any kind of automatic electronic funds transfer. It is enormously impactful here when people stand with us on a monthly basis and do so in a way that is not only easy for them, but reduces the administrative costs of processing those gifts.
And again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. And as I mention all the time, when you do that, I'd be pleased to personalize one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. Maybe you want to give the gift as a Christmas gift. Be happy to take that into consideration as well. You can go to the web at equip.org and become a monthly Bible Answer Man support team member. Give a gift. Whatever you do will be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can also give via the mail. The address, once again, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do for remember, as Larry alluded to, there are resource consultants standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. When we come back, some more of your questions and some more of Dr. Larry Johnston. He is making a difference for time and for eternity. I want to talk about how tithing in the Old Testament not only prepared God's people to become hilarious givers, but produced a temple of unparalleled splendor. Well, now the living temple, Jesus Christ, has come, and He is urging all of us to be divine saboteurs, those who are sabotaging the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of evil, with the kingdom of light and righteousness. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Have you ever considered that just as a daily dose of the right vitamins can help to ward off illness, so can a daily dosage of truth be the best antidote for error? Or that just like the Ebola virus, error is deadly only when it is ingested? Sadly, far too many seekers and even believers have swallowed the distortions of cults and aberrant teachers only to discover how spiritually deadly these deceptions can be. And just like a wide range of potentially deadly viruses, these deceptions can spread if precautions are not taken. This Christmas, why not promote the health of our nation as well as the church by providing a daily dose of truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast and a host of other outreaches? Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after this.
Angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. Did you know that 23 of 25 major evangelical denominations are in decline? Or did you know that we're losing millions of evangelicals from the church in the United States? About 2.6 million per decade. And that what's left of a smaller, shrinking church is splintering over politics and a postmodern view of God and the Bible. Sadly, far too many Christians are simply oblivious in their bubbles, or too glued to their smartphones to notice the rising tide of spiritual and cultural decadence that threatens the church. Thankfully, others are receiving their wake-up calls and deciding to make a difference before it's too late. If you want to make a difference, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a year-end gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Have you considered in your Christmas shopping list what could be one of the best gifts you'll ever make? If not, consider this. Countless thousands of spiritually hungry, earnest seekers after truth are led astray each day by prosperity preachers, mongers of millennial madness, and New Age gurus, to name only a few. Yet your special Christmas gift today can help provide genuinely biblical truths that set people free. To make a mind-changing and life-changing gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Let's go right to our callers, Buck in Jonesburg, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Buck.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not doing so well. I'm going through like a crisis, like what Job went through, and I got my wallet stolen a couple of days ago, and first I was real mad at it. I was looking to get these people to steal my wallet because, you know, I'm in martial arts, and I'm trying to calm my temper down. But then all of a sudden, I got calm, and what I wanted to know about silent prayer. I mean, does God really listen to you when you pray in your mind?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. You know, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You have hemmed me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Those are the words of the psalmist. So yeah, God knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts, and he is intimately involved in every single detail of our lives. I mean, if you think about the reality that not a hair can fall from your head, as it were, without God knowing about it, you know that he cares about the intimate details of your life.
Right, yes. Yeah, and also, I got your book, The Apocalypse Code, and I've seen you in St. Louis in 2007, and you signed my book. And I've got John, I think it was John 5:28. Do not be amazed at this, for
yes,
coming with all
yes.
of God under grace.
Yes,
that's
yeah.
So that's beautiful. I mean, I can't put your book down. And I'm going through a financial crisis right now, and what it is I'm being bombarded with these teenagers around my neighborhood. It's just drugs everywhere. Hank, you just... some of them are smoking marijuana and stuff, and what I'm trying to do is get your journal back. I haven't had your journal in a long time.
Well, you hang on. Let me see if I can, you know, I'd love to give it to you just as a way of maybe encouraging you. I'm going to send you a subscription to the journal, Buck. We'll pray for you. You pray for us and continue praying to God and recognizing that he is intimately acquainted in
okay.
every way with every detail of your life. Larry, talk to this issue. I mean, that Buck is raising the issue of God being involved in every detail of our lives, knowing our thoughts. I mean, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord.
Yeah, this is unquestionably one of the great mysteries, and perhaps it's a version of the old Latin finitum non capax infinitum, the finite is incapable of grasping the infinite. We see through a glass darkly. There's much, much that remains mystery. And the fact that there are 7 billion people on this planet, and that the mind behind all things understands thoughts even before they arise, there is no cognitive psychologist, no psychiatrist, no one, not even the most brilliant minds in information theory and data processing and analytics, who can begin to fathom the notion that we do not need to verbalize our thoughts for God to know them. He knows them before they are on our lips.
Yeah, and let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Alan in Hope, British Columbia, Canada, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Alan.
Hello. It's almost miraculous that you took my call. I'm driving in my semi, and I've gone through the mountains, and I haven't lost it. And my original question was about in Mary's Magnifica, where she mentions that God is her Savior, and is that valid evidence to refute Mary being divine?
Well, I think so, and I think if you look at church history, the idea that Mary is immaculately conceived. I mean, the reasoning was that it's not enough that Mary be pure in body, in other words, a virgin, but that she must also have been pure in soul without sin in order to become the bearer, Theotokos, the mother of God. That idea actually is a very modern idea. It didn't
That's
become a dogma until 1854, when it was defined as unquestionable dogma by Pope Pius IX. And this is the first dogma, by the way, ever to be pronounced solely on the authority of a pope without the official sanction of a council. And I think this brings up the whole concept of the pope speaking ex cathedra from the chair, and this then having the weight of Scripture itself, Larry.
Yeah, I have very serious doubts about infallibility of any human being, regardless of how exalted their position. It is always this earthen vessel containing the treasure, and notions of any one individual being infallible press my limits of belief.
Bless you, Alan. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Bill, Youngstown, Ohio, NRB Television. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. I've been waiting a while, but it's worth it. I got a cold, so you have to excuse my voice. I started listening to you when I was in the penitentiary, and the only way I could hear you was I had to sit below this big light pole. Hmm. In this one spot of the track, I could get you perfectly. So every night, I would go and I would sit below this light pole and listen to the Bible Answer Man. And all my brothers in the Lord would be walking around the track and say, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm listening to Hank."
Hmm.
This is the only place I could get him in the whole penitentiary. So I wanted to ask you about, I had like five friends. I'm going to have to get your book, The Afterlife, who had out-of-the-body experiences and very close with these people. You know, one of them drowned and two of them were going through open-heart surgery. And one of them got bit by a bee and the other one got electrocuted.
Hmm.
Now, the one that got electrocuted is a very evil person. He's the only one that he said he went to hell. The other one said that they went to heaven or supposedly heaven, and they seen people that they loved who had gone before them. Now, they're still alive, of course, and they, you know, their faith is much stronger in Christ. And I was just wondering, you know, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and after death the judgment.
Yeah.
So I just wondered your viewpoint on
Sure, Bill. There's a big difference between a clinical death and a biological death. The other thing I'd point out is that the experience that people have, contextualized by what their belief structure was before they had the experience. So if they're Muslims, they encounter the Archangel Gabriel as the Holy Spirit. Or if they're fundamentalist Christians, they see streets of gold and they see a temple. By the way, from a biblical standpoint, John says, "I did not see a temple in that city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." So the ideas you have before you have the experience typically contextualize the experience itself. And that's why, although there's nothing wrong with a subjective experience, we should always test the subjective experience in light of Scripture and then hold fast to that which is good. So the Bible is the final court of arbitration by which we test all things. But I can't help but tell you, Bill, how incredibly moved I am to hear about your experience listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It is amazing to me to hear the testimonies. I go through life and find that people are listening to me in a penitentiary or listening to me in Iran or listening to me in some other part of the world on a podcast. And the impact of the ministry around the world is simply moving, and I thank you so much for bringing that. If you'll hang on, I'd love to send you a personalized copy of my book, Afterlife, just as my Christmas gift to you this year. Larry, talk about the reach of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but this is just one of our ministry outreaches. The Christian Research Institute has a wealth of information. We want to translate it into other languages. We're training missionaries around the world. This ministry is making a difference, and we've just scratched the surface.
Yes, we are in a period of intensive, prayerful, and careful planning around an initiative called Going Global that offers the very real promise of being the largest, farthest-reaching apologetics initiative in history. It is, and the wonderful thing about people's gifts is that a dollar can go where I cannot go. It can get into prisons, like the one that Bill was in, where I cannot go. It can go behind what was famously called the Iron Curtain, where I cannot go. It can speak languages that I cannot speak, touch lives that I cannot speak, all because of my willingness to take what I have and invest to make a difference.
I almost don't want to ask people to give because so many people are just listening to the broadcast and have been for the last few days and are just giving spontaneously because they recognize the move of the Spirit at the Christian Research Institute.
Well, and that is the best way. There's an old Negro spiritual that had the lyrics, do what the Spirit say do. I don't want anyone to give grudgingly. I don't want folks to give out of a sense of obligation. I want people to give out of the realization that that check, that gift made by credit card, is transforming lives. We're not talking about transactional trivia here. We're not talking about just keeping the lights on and covering overhead. We're talking about lives that are changed that in turn go on to change other lives that in turn go on to change lives again, and setting in motion dynamics that we cannot know on this side of the veil. But I am persuaded that on the other side of the veil, we will know how many lives were touched because we were willing to step up and make a difference.
Yeah, cash that out for a moment. We just have a few moments. But the difference between transactional trivia and transformational truth?
Well, a transactional gift is one that goes from the donor to the organization, but when the evaluation is done, nothing was really changed. What CRI is about is not merely keeping the lights on, not keeping the radio waves going, but touching and transforming lives. And we've heard from people just so far on the radio this evening about their lives being changed in prisons, wherever it happens to be. Give to make a difference.
Well, you're listening to the voice of Larry Johnston. He is the Executive Vice President, Chief Advancement Officer for the Christian Research Institute, using his time, talent, and treasure through this ministry for the advancement of God's kingdom. We're absolutely convinced that what we're talking about here on the broadcast is a move of the Spirit of God. If it is simply a move in the flesh and you baptize it by sprinkling it, it turns to gravel in your teeth, but when it is a move of the Spirit, you sense the pleasure of God. And as Larry said, in eternity, we will see what God has done through this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach. Look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the broadcast.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A humorous definition of a conservative is someone who sits and thinks, but mainly sits. With that definition in mind, could the greatest threat to today's church be that many of us mainly sit and don't think? If history is any lesson, the failure to both think and act during times of crisis can be downright dangerous. And for Christians today, increasingly battered by the gale force winds of militant secularism, the need is to think Christianly and act courageously. Faced with these challenges, will you be a conformer or a transformer? Will you be the object of worldly change or an agent of change for the King of Kings? To go on record as an agent of change, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a special year-end gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as has a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.